Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to Ever Be. Today we have a dear friend of mine, Caroline Lenny, on the podcast. And it's really funny how we met. It was actually, I think, somehow we were introduced like in 2018, I believe, through Trey, if I'm not mistaken. You and him served together as summer missionaries at Hidden Lake. And I just remember, like, you know, we were doing long distance calling and dating, and he was like, "Ah, oh, I feel like you'd be like such good friends with this girl, Caroline here. She's so like creative, like you, and like artsy." And I was like, "Gosh, she sounds so fun." And then I think we briefly met when I went to go visit him. Right? Did we get to meet in person that time, or was that somewhere else?
I don't really remember. Maybe. It's a little blurry, but I do remember Trey being like, "You would like my girlfriend."
Yeah. Maybe we didn't get to meet in person that time, but I feel like we met in person another time, right? Like at a Seek or something?
Somewhere. Yes. It must have been. It had to be.
It must have been. I feel like I met you.
I feel like I've always known you.
I know. That'd be crazy if we hadn't. I like swear we have, but maybe our paths haven't crossed. Maybe I need to fly out to Charleston. Anyways. She's also just like a wonderful fellow creator that I look up to so much and enjoy following her life on social media and her business and everything. So, so pumped to have you on the podcast today. Totally. Do you want to just share a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Yes. I'm so excited to be here. Mari, you're just fabulous creative agents for the church and more. And it's just so fun to watch you grow. But my name is Caroline Lenny. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. I moved here 4 years ago from Ohio. So originally a Midwest girl, but I really love it down here. It's just such a creative city and community, and I'm just so inspired by this city in general. I moved here 4 years ago, and I started a marketing agency. I started it in college, just freelancing and just following creative doors that would open and just like seeing where the Lord would take me, and it's grown since. And now we have a team of 4 full-time, and we serve a lot of different lifestyle businesses in Charleston and really all over the United States. So it's been such a wild ride. But I also love to share just about life and how the Lord works and creativity and just enjoying your life online. So that's been a lot of fun too.
I love it. Yeah, you're such a fun follow. You bring so much like color to my feed, which I love.
Yes, I love color for sure. Definitely colorful over here.
Okay, let's get into Everbe moments. So this is a space for you to share a small way or a big way that God's working in your life, maybe a little God wink. Do you have an Everbe moment recently that you can share?
Yes, this is actually a crazy story. And I kept telling everyone this last weekend. Last weekend, I was in New York City just for fun. And it's just like so invigorating and creative. And I just love it.
Yeah.
And in March, I was in New York and I felt this little desire. And this is like the Lord cares about your desires. Okay. So I felt this little desire of like, I want to live in New York. Like I always had that like childhood dream of like moving to New York City and doing the thing and working for the fashion company, whatever. But I just like the Lord hasn't brought me there yet. And I remembered in March, I was like, wait a minute. I like really want to move here still. I'm single. Like I'm in my very free spirited years, I guess you could say. So I was like, I think now is my chance. So I kind of just mentioned it at brunch one morning. I was like, I know the Lord like is going to answer this prayer. I just boldly said, like, I want to live here for 3 months. Like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Like, watch it happen. As I was kind of like joking around. And then after I posted a bunch of Instagram stories like I always do. And one of them was where we were eating brunch. No location tag, just these random donuts. Okay. Just a picture of some random donuts. They could have been anywhere in the world on this plate. And this girl responded and was like, I live right above this restaurant. And we were chatting, and I was like, well, if you ever have a sublease, like, let me know. I want to move here for 3 months. She was like, yeah, I do. You can have mine in the summer. And so now I'm going to be in New York for a few months. But I keep telling that story because it's like, okay, I said in my, like, very naive, funny, like, way, like, okay, Lord's going to answer. And, like, he did. So just, I love that story.
That is such a testament to God hears our prayers. God cares about all the little details, the big dreams, the small dreams, and he made it happen for you. And that's so exciting. This is like totally giving me like the holiday vibes.
I know. That's kind of what I'm channeling. Like, we'll see. So it's just fun.
That is so much fun. I love that. My Everbe moment recently is with St. Therese. It's funny. I've like read St. Therese, and I will say, like, of course I like her, but I'm not like her fan club. You know, like so many Catholic girlies are like number one fans of Therese, and they're like besties, and like that's incredible. But my bestie, St. Faustina. Yep. And so, but St. Therese is like kind of like, yeah, she's been there. But I recently started reading I Believe in Love after years and years and years of Trey telling me, like, you need to read this book. You need to read this book. It's so amazing. And recently I read a line in the book that just like has lingered with me. And she talks, and it's just a classic St. Therese analogy that she has. She talks about how she just wants to take the elevator. She's like, why would we do the work to climb the stairway of perfection?
Oh, really?
When we could take the elevator and have Jesus lift us up to heaven. And that just really like related to my heart so much, because I'm like striving to do the Lord's will and like striving for holiness and like striving for heaven. And she just like allowed me to realize, like, of course our effort matters, but like we don't get to heaven upon our own merits. Like we don't earn our way to heaven because we worked so hard at climbing the stairway of perfection. The way we get to heaven is like total abandonment to God and confidence in his love and mercy. And that will just lift us up. So anybody else out there who needed to hear that, I hope that it resonates with you, because I know it's been so good for me to hear the last few days.
So beautiful. And like, I just love that image of just like abandonment, just riding the elevator. Mm-hmm. Just get in.
Oh, totally.
Okay, let's dive into our convo, because one thing I love that you talk about is liking your life. And that's half the reason why I brought you on the podcast, because I think it's such a unique philosophy that we need to hear and adopt, especially with the craze of social media and everyone sharing about the highlights in their life. It can be so easy to look around and be like, everybody else's life is so much better than mine, and I'm nowhere where I want to be, and my life isn't what I want it to be, right? And the reality is, like, on social media, like, we forget we see the highlight reel a lot of the time. And I love, your just whole philosophy and motto to like your life wherever you're at in this moment. So can you share with us, like, how did that motto come to life? How did that moment, like, shift your perspective on everyday living?
Definitely. So this happened like 4-ish years ago. I started sharing a lot about an invitation to like your life. And how it began was I just started sharing one thing that I liked about my life every single day. And it stemmed from, I remember the moment I was on an airplane, which is like the best place to pray and write, I think. And I was praying and I was asking the Lord of like, okay, I was at kind of a turning point in my like journey, I guess. I was moving to Charleston. Like, stuff was changing. There was a lot changing in my life. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And I was like, what should I work on? Like, what should we do next? Like, let me like try to create something, strive, make something happen. It's kind of where I was at entering this prayer. And the Lord kind of snapped me out of it and was like, why don't you just learn how to like your life? Like, I gave you this gift. How about you just try to like it? And the language like freed me up to enjoy my life how it was. And the more that I explored this theme, we really like, you just can't, we think often that the ultimate goal is to like love your life. Like, I am working to make all these pieces fit so that one day I wake up and I love my life, because that's kind of what we've been advertised as the mission. Like, one day you'll love your life if you work hard enough and you do this, you do all this right. But that's actually impossible, because we cannot love our life until heaven. We just can't. It's not perfect here. It's a broken world. This is an impossible goal. And so realizing that it was an impossible goal, no matter my effort, that I could not love my life, but I could like it, because that both and effect of the kingdom of like, it's really hard, but it's still really beautiful, will never leave us until heaven. So thinking about, okay, I can just like my life freed me up to enjoy and actually notice God in my life how it was, and to stop waiting for the perfect day, the perfect occasion, the perfect moment. And it really has just helped me so much to understand, like, I am on earth, so I can't love it all the time because life is really hard, but I can try to like something every day.
I love that. That is so wise and joyful. And what just comes to mind is that's real living in the present. And the Lord lives in the present. He doesn't live in the past or in the future. And yeah. That is a tactic the evil one uses against us to distract us from the way God is working in our life right now, to either be caught up yeah. in the past or focused on what the future could be and always be wishing for something else. And I feel like, yeah, that like
yeah.
message the Lord put on your heart of like, could you just like your life? Could you like the life that I'm blessing you with now and just meet me here now mm-hmm. in the day is such a joyful and just holy way of living. That's so beautiful.
So helpful. It's been so helpful to me. And even like just freeing my heart up to enjoy without this like effort for perfection. And I also think like I always get this image of like a father giving a daughter a gift. Like we're supposed to enjoy it and we're supposed to like it. And that can feel really hard when you hear someone say like, enjoy your life when there's really hard stuff happening. And hard stuff is happening to every single person. So when you hear that advice of like, the Lord wants you to love your life, you're like, well, actually, my life is really hard right now. And I'm going through this and this and this and this and this, and I'm suffering with this, mm-hmm. which is how everyone feels. And that's just like, ugh, it just feels icky. But to be like, okay, actually, can you find one thing that you like and yeah. all of it can coexist, which I think is how life is right now on earth.
Yeah.
Until we get to heaven.
Totally. Yeah. I love the idea of like allowing liking your life coexisting with suffering. How do you feel like liking your life has helped you get through difficult moments in life, whether it be seasons of waiting or suffering or hardships or unforeseen moments?
Yeah. I think it's been the only thing that's got me through. I mean, it's been the thing that's opened my eyes to the Lord's grace in suffering. My mom passed away this past November from stage 4 cancer. And so this whole year has been such an exercise in grief, and even losing her was such an exercise in suffering and a real experience of suffering. And really, like, some days all you can do is be like, I like my coffee right now and thank God, and so we're gonna keep going. Like the tiniest things, like I like the way the light is coming through this window. That's it. That's the only thing, but at least there's something. I think it is just an invitation to my heart in that suffering and in that depth and in that waiting, in that pain that we all have an experience to find the light without ignoring the dark. Cause yeah. it both things are real. Like I don't have to say like, okay, now love it. That's really hard to like lift yourself to that height. But little by little, when we notice the little things, we just like our souls and our minds can experience the grace of God. So really been a tool that is in like kindergarten language. Like, okay, Caroline, what can you like today? That gets me through hardship.
Yeah, I love that. But sometimes we need the kind of dumbed down version to be able to really grasp it and learn yeah. it and apply it. And that's easy for us to remember and for us to grasp. And as you were talking, something that just came to mind was like, in the darkness, it's easier almost to like recognize light than it is in the broad daylight, right? And so these moments of suffering,
yeah, so good.
You're reading that Jesus brings into our life, like it's always really hard to grasp our minds around the fact that like the Lord allows those moments of suffering, right? But he also uses those mm-hmm. moments of suffering to draw us close to him and to show us like our dependence on him, our need for him, and the life and the love that he brings into our life, right? And so in those moments of darkness, like trying to find that little glow, like the Lord is present in those mm-hmm. times. And sometimes those are the times that allow us to find that light more than when like everything is like sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing that I love that you kind of tie into this theme is the discipline of delight. And to me, that kind of just sounds like, yeah, that's not easy. Like you just mentioned, like it's not always easy to find things that we like or that we love about our life. So can you just share more about what does that mean, the discipline of delight, and how practicing delight has changed your experience of joy and hardship in your life.
Yeah. I think with delight, we think that it will hit us. Also, like with joy, that it will just like come out one day, that if we, again, like I mentioned earlier, like arrange everything neatly and work really hard and perfect it and become holier or achieve this or do this right, that it will then crop up or it will appear as a result of something else. But it's actually, delight is never an accident. It's actually like a choice that you can make right now without having to wait. So just like you can like, I don't know, drink enough water every day, like the discipline of a healthy habit, you choose to do that. You don't like do other stuff and wait until water would appear or something. Like it's not going to be a fruit of another action. It has to be the action itself. And realizing that of like, we can be serious about our joy. Like we're actually invited to be serious about our joy because it is a fruit of the spirit. Like this is the fruit of the Lord working. Just makes me delight. It makes me happy to think about it like that. And also realizing like, I don't have to wait. I can just choose delight today. And this is like a practice and a discipline that I have agency in that I can like choose is really helpful. Like even like little things, like I'm going to use the fun plates when I make dinner, or like I'm going to send my friend a note, or I'm going to make something a little more beautiful, or I'm going to choose to say like, wow, look how beautiful the sunset is. Like these things are choices and things that we can grow in.
Yeah. This makes me think of two things. One, it's just really the concept of like allowing your life to be romanticized without it having to like be a movie. Like you can choose to have dinner at sunset if you want to, you know, like you can choose to put up the beautiful artwork in your home that maybe you thought you'd wait to do until you were married or something like that. You know what I mean? And then it also reminds me of just like marriage conversations that Trey and I have had in marriage, and how just like as the years of the relationship continues to grow and your years in marriage increase, it can be easy to talk about how like, oh, those like honeymoon days were just like when you were dating, like those are over and done with. And then you have to learn how to like really love each other. And obviously there's some truth to that. But at the same time, I always say like, you can choose to feel giddy. You can choose to be excited when your husband tells you you look beautiful, even though he says it to you like multiple times a week now. You know, it's not like a unique thing, or like you can choose to make the date special by making it a surprise, or you can choose to like buy them a coffee or something while you're out. Like you can choose these little things that you would do when you were dating that kind of romanticize that dating period and continue to live that in your marriage, even though it is just like your everyday mundane life.
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's such a beautiful example. And I think like it's so beautiful too, because you're receiving the gift of your marriage by participating in it. Like, and that, like, choosing to make it special or delight and receive the gift, there's some vulnerability in that, and choosing and acting and really delighting in your marriage. And, like, I think the same thing goes for our life. Like, you're allowed and encouraged to do these things. And I also think sometimes we look at other people and are like, oh, that's so extra. Wow, you're really romanticizing your life a lot. But really, like, what if I'm like receiving the gift of my life that the Father gave me? And like, what if you're receiving the gift of your marriage that the Father gave you? Like, how beautiful. So I also want to give permission to anyone listening to just, it's beautiful. It's that act of receiving love in it. And it's really beautiful, vulnerable, creative, godly thing.
Totally. I love that you brought up the word extra, because I feel like it has such a negative connotation nowadays. Like, oh, that's so extra. Like, that's too much. But I'm like, I have learned to just embrace extra. Like, yes, I like doing things to the next level. Yes, I like doing the extra work to make it more fun or more special or more beautiful or more delicious or more creative. And a friend of mine, so I've been posting about these like monthly themed dinner parties that I've been doing. And the whole purpose of these is to like build better friendships, community, and host an exciting dinner party to love on our friends who don't have that
fun,
right? And my friend Megan, she commented on it, and she was like, whenever I try and do things at my house, I think I'm being too extra, and then I remember I'm friends with you, and then I'm like, okay, I can be extra, and this is a good thing. And I was like, yes, I love
yes
that people can take that encouragement away from yeah, maybe what we're sharing online and that encouragement of like, you can do the big thing, you can do the more creative thing. I love the analogy you use of like, don't save your stickers until like that really special project or journal. You know what I mean? Like today is the day, and like you can be extra and own it.
It's a beautiful practice. Like you're receiving the gift of your life. Like, thank God. Like delight is a discipline. That's actually a practice. And it's, totally. It's a worthy one.
Yeah. And one other thing I've seen you write about that kind of ties into this, right, is that the mundane can be miraculous. And I think a lot of people can hear this conversation and be like, but you don't get it. Like my life is like so boring, you know, or like my life isn't extravagant, maybe like your guys's. And I think a lot of people like on different spectrums can relate to that, whether they're a 9-to-5er or a stay-at-home mom. In any capacity, we often fall into the lie that like our life is just mundane or it's just boring. So what would you say to someone who feels that? How do you help someone learn to see their daily life, like the errands, the routines, the quiet moments, just as more meaningful and an opportunity for miracle instead of something to just get through?
Yeah, I 100% understand. I mean, I've been there too. I am there. That's why I've been practicing this. But I think starting with two questions would be helpful and helps me. Of just like when I'm approaching anything, like, God, where can I see you? Like, show me. Or like, where can I invite you? Like, how can I make the spirit involved? I guess would be two questions. But I think the precursor to like delight or making the mundane miraculous is an attention thing. It's a noticing thing. So what I always think about of like, Lord, like show me, like help me notice you. Because it's not that the miraculous is somewhere else or we're waiting for it to come or it's going to come down like some bolt of lightning. Now it could, you never know. Don't put a limit on God. However, more likely is that it's with us right now. So I'm always just asking like, help me notice it. And like very strategically, because I'm like, okay, what does that mean? How does that look? What I started doing like many, many years ago, probably 10 years ago, was I have a list in my notes app that's called like many miracles. And I will legitimately write down like everything that I see. And the act of recording it and like putting it in a spot just changes my mind. It like renews my mind. It renews my spirit. It renews the mundane. Mm. And that's like what it takes. Usually it's just like writing it down in my notes app and then I feel better. So instead of like to give you a strategic tip, like that's what I would really recommend.
I love that. As we step into the Christmas season, it's so easy to get caught up in the noise, the shopping, the parties, travel, the presents. But this season is about something so much greater, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can either let the busyness take over or we can slow down, be still, and focus on what really matters. This is what Hallow's Pray 25 Be Still Challenge is all about, creating space each day to find peace in God's presence. The lineup for this year's challenge is incredible. Jonathan Rumi, Chris Pratt, Sister Marian James, Gwen Stefani, and more all helping guide us in prayer. Together, they're going to walk us through the nativity story, not as a quiet night, but as a story of real uncertainty, struggle, and divine peace. We'll also journey through two powerful books, The Read of God and The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Families can join in too with the Kids Advent Prayer Challenge, Finding Fiat, which is a way to bring everybody together in prayer this season. Plus, Hallow has thousands of prayers, meditations, and even new Christmas music from Matt Maher, Lauren Daigle, and others, all designed to help you connect with God. Experience the stillness and peace that only He can bring this Christmas, and download Hallow for 3 months free at hallow.com/Mari. I wish you could see my face when I was visiting my parents recently and my mom took out a giant jug of Cascade dishwasher detergent out of her grocery bags. After learning so much about toxins and ingredients the past few years, I literally cringe at seeing the conventional brands that we all grew up on back at my parents' house. And while I know that our parents did the best they could with the information that they had, it's now our turn to help our parents with the information we have. Am I right? Conventional dish soaps have a ton of harmful ingredients that literally disrupt our hormones, can cause cancer, and can literally wreck your gut. I'm talking like burning holes in your gut. So I immediately turned my mom onto my favorite non-toxic dishwasher soap, It is seriously more effective than the old brand we used. It's a fan favorite, and it leaves our dishes sparkling. Plus, it's all non-toxic. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 8 bags for free when you buy the pack of 8. That's literally 400 loads total for a fraction of the cost. So if you want to make an easy swap in your home right now, get on this train while the sale is live. The link is in the show notes.
We are all about the practical tips here. We want to know how to apply these concepts in our life. So thank you for that.
Like, just open your notes. Like, I'll write down stuff like, the grass is looking green. My tea was good. My friends called me. I liked my shirt. Like, stuff like that. Like, that. These are miracles. Like, these are beautiful things. And it really just trains your brain to notice God. And that really helps, because life can feel very mundane.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of just a new spin on like a gratitude list, which there's like, I know, been like studied on and everything about when we shift our mindset to view things through the lens of gratitude, we start feeling more joyful and loving our life more. And so maybe if you feel like the gratitude list is like over talked about or overdone, you can talk about it like your life list, and then just start making that list on your phone or like before you go to bed.
Definitely. And thinking of it like a conversation a little bit more, like with the Lord, has been helpful to me, of like asking the question of like, I'm looking for a miracle here. Help me see it. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a like answer and response instead of a review that can be a little bit more active, I guess, with the Holy Spirit.
I love that. Yeah. Let's chat about what work life looks like for you. I am so impressed by your business and the way that you've grown it. And you know, I'm like marketing, just like, I was going to say guru, but I meant to say just like, I'm obsessed with marketing and branding, and you do it so well.
You're so good at it. You're so good at it.
And so are you. And so are you. And I've just like seen your business blow up. And as a fellow entrepreneur, I know what that's like behind the scenes. And I know it can be a lot, and it requires a lot. And I think I saw you post once, just the recognition of accepting like, whoa, like we can't do it all. And newsflash, hustle culture basically sucks. And I just can't tell you how much I related to that. And so I wanted to just ask you, like, how do you feel like you're unlearning hustle culture in your life?
It's a great question. It's been such a journey, like years long, and I'm still learning. I'm still really learning. I think tapping into what actually gives me life in my work. So I talk a lot about creativity. I love creativity. We are creative because God is creative. I think it's like one of the ways that we can like truly be like our Father. And like, it's just so like, it's so beautiful that we get to create like God created. And so over the past few years, I've really been like working to build this business and share online, and we've been hustling. I've been hustling. It is a hustle. And so it's always a question of like, okay, Lord, what's the balance? It gets really blurry. It just gets really blurry. So I think how I've been unlearning hustle culture, back to the strategic tips, I know that in a good day for me, I need to pray, I need to journal, I need to exercise, and I need to talk to someone that I love. And so protecting those things of like, am I doing these things? And then bonus, like creating content, because I just love creating content. So like adding those in, protecting those things strategically, I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit more well-ordered. So thinking about it in that lens has been really helpful of like, I have to show up and do these things. The other thing is, we don't really work on the weekends. We try to protect our weekends. That's another, like Sabbath is important, another strategic. But I also think it can get really confusing when we talk about hustle culture of like, am I hustling and is this bad and how do I tell? And is it bad that I'm working and where's the line that you just have to experiment? I think it's a different for every single person too. You actually have to just like grow through it. There's no like subscription, I don't think, where either of us could say, at least in my experience, to be like, if you're doing this and this and this, then you're hustling. And if you're not doing this, you're not hustling. It's different for every single person. And I think it just comes back to like the beauty of the church and the wisdom of the church and the rightly ordered life. If there's a time and place for really hard work, and it's really beautiful to work really hard, and we have to just surrender it to the Lord. Like, we just can't be perfect. So that's a long-winded answer of saying, like, I think it's the both and. And I think that you just have to work through it, unfortunately. Like, yeah. The Lord will guide you and you'll learn. You'll make mistakes and you'll learn and you'll get better at it. And I think I'm in the process of doing that. But how have you handled it, Mari? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I relate to a lot of what you're saying. And anybody who is an entrepreneur, I mean, I don't know how many entrepreneurs we have listening, but you know those first few years, it's kind of inevitable. Like, you have to grind, you have to hustle, because you're not getting paid a 9-to-5 like yearly salary job. And so you grind and work, right? So that is part of entrepreneurship. I relate a lot to what you were saying about, like, the different pillars in your life that you need to protect. And I notice I am hustling too much or allowing work to be in a priority that it's not actually meant to be when those other things aren't happening. And so, like, when I realize that I, like, have gone through my day, like, maybe sitting at my kitchen counter since breakfast because I never remembered to get up from there because I just started working as soon as breakfast was served on the table, then I'm like, oh, yeah, see, I, like, didn't order my day well today, and I didn't take care of, like, all these other needs, like spiritual and physical and eating food at a normal time, and allowing, like, God to shed light on what's necessary and what's not in every season. And that has been a learning process for me, because I'm a yes girl. And so, like, I say yes to a lot of things, and I hear an exciting new project, and I'm like, yeah, we can get it done, and we can do it this year. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, we have a lot of projects that we're doing this year. And so it's been an ebb and flow, like, year to year, like, learning, like, what can my plate handle this year? And from learning from past years, like, yeah, is that a good amount on my plate? Is that healthy? Is that not? Does that allow me to still, like, live my vocation well and have a relationship with God and take care of my well-being? Or is taking on all these things actually saying yes to work above all things? And if that's the case, then we need to reorder things. I feel like this year has been a year that I've, like, leaned into it the most and, like, really taken it the most seriously. So, like, I literally, like, hadn't taken a day off social media in, like, years, and I took, like, 8 days off earlier this year, and it was so life-changing. And I did a silent retreat, and then I took 3 months off of my podcast and started painting again, and I was just, like, and praying, and I was like, I need to feed my soul and my creative, like, reserves with life-giving things instead of always, like, releasing them, you know, like filling, like overflowing out, you know, like, it's not overflowing if I'm not being filled first. So, been learning that a lot this year, but yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah. How it's been for
so
you.
So good. And I'll add one more thing if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I think something I've learned a lot this year is that hustle feels like a very vague term. Like, I don't know how to define it. I can feel it. You can feel it in your soul. But like I said, I can't really prescribe it. It's kind of an experiment. You're going to figure it out. But I think the result of hustling too much is burnout. And that's a very popular term. Like, okay, I'm feeling really, really burnout.
Sure.
So earlier this year, I was kind of praying with and exploring, like, what does burnout actually mean and look like for me? And it was a very productive and helpful prayer, because I realized I got this image of, like, when a race car driver burns out a car, they're spinning their wheels, but they're also hitting the brakes. So they're spinning their wheels and they're trying to go somewhere, but they're actually going nowhere. And the Lord illuminated for me that a lot of my burnout, or that feeling of, like, oh, this is just so hard, that, like, terrible feeling you get when you were hustling, was because I was imagining doing a lot of stuff, but I wasn't actually taking action. I was thinking about it in my head. I was making a lot of plans. I was, like, hustling up here in my head, but I wasn't taking action. So something that I've really worked on is taking, when something hits my head, an idea, I need to email that person. I need to unload the dishwasher. I need to post this on Instagram. I need to call someone. Like, an idea comes to my head, I have to take action on it. And that has helped me so much, because it moves it along, and I can be free in my soul to, like, experience the present and create, because of that. So I don't know if that's helpful, but sometimes thinking about the inverse, like, okay, hustling leads to burnout, I want to avoid that, has helped me. Mm. And that image of like the race car driver burning out a car, of like my wheels are spinning, but I'm going nowhere, mm-hmm. and turning like, okay, Lord, like I trust that this is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to move on it. I'm going to send the email. I'm going to do it right now, has really helped.
I love that. Yeah. And I think too, it also just depends on your season of life, like what hustle will look like, what the Lord's calling you to do, what you're able to take on, what causes burnout. It's going to change throughout your life, and what our capacity was as college students starting businesses versus missionaries running businesses versus like full-time running our business, you know, and then one day married and children. Like it's always going to evolve and change, and always inviting the Lord into, every season and being like, is this what you're asking of me now? Or is this an idea that like needs to marinate for a couple years before we go? Because I just want to share like the other side of the coin. What you shared is so good. The other side of the coin is like my brain. I'm being bombarded with ideas all the time, and I'm starting to take action on all of them, and then realize, maybe writing the book isn't for this year. You know, like maybe we're just going to do a magazine this year, but we're not going to do a magazine and a book and relaunch your podcast, you know? And so sometimes the Lord will have to like remind me of that. You have such great ideas and I love them. And maybe they're for different seasons of your life. Not everything has to happen before you're 30. Really like applying it to every season of your life, what your capacity looks like, and it'll evolve and it'll change. And then when you figure it out, life will change and you'll have to figure it out all over again. So that's the beauty of life.
Beautiful. And it's an experiment and we don't have it figured out because the Lord will guide us. So it's okay.
Totally. Okay. Shifting gears a little bit. I would love to talk about your home because it's iconic and beautiful. And I keep seeing that you're getting photographed and it's getting featured as it should, because I've seen you just pour so much work into it. Tell us about like your home renovation. What has this project been like? And this idea of like, home is where we wait for heaven. I love that.
Yeah. Well, if you guys don't know me, I have a house in Charleston, South Carolina that I bought 3 years ago. And it was a complete mess. And I turned it into this like colorful haven that I just love so much. And I used to live down the street from my house now. And I live in South Carolina, not a lot of Catholics compared to the Midwest. Midwest, Mary statues everywhere you look, you know? And when I moved to this neighborhood, I would always turn the corner and pass this house. And there was a Mary statue. And I'd always wave to Mary on the way home. And I would be like, I'm in the right place because like Mary's right there. Fast forward a few years, it was on the market. I got really, really lucky and I took it on. And I was 23 at the time and I didn't even know how to like navigate Lowe's. Like, what was I thinking? I don't know. It was crazy, but it taught me so much because this house has like grown up with me. It's taught me so much about risk, about how the Lord provides. Like one night I was having a complete like meltdown, like, I don't know how to do this. What am I thinking? I went for a run. I was like, Lord, like you have to help me like do something right now. Like this is really bad. And I felt in my soul, like the Lord tell me to go back to my house in the dark, the house I didn't live in. I hadn't moved in yet. Go back to the house and look in the front door. So I did. And there was a card for my handyman who we've been working together for like 3 years and he'd saved my life. Right. So like the Lord has just taught me so much about how he meets you and out in the deep, like he just will help you. And it's also been such a creative expression for me to like just be extra, I guess you could say, to talk about that word again. Like my ceilings are blue and fireplace is pink and there's florals everywhere and it's just a lot of fun. A huge exercise in being myself. But I was talking to the Lord about this like a few years ago sometime, and I was like, it's kind of vulnerably like, is it okay that I'm doing this? Like, is it okay that I'm like taking this house and lavishly in my eyes, like making it this creation? And the Lord kind of just wanted like, home is where you wait for heaven. Like it matters. Like, let's make this place beautiful together. And that freed up my heart so much. And I want to tell like every woman that of like, home is where we wait for heaven. Like however you want it to look, or however you want to express yourself, even if you're not like an interiors girly, that's totally fine. But the Lord like hears about it. And that helped me a lot. But
I love that so much. And I too am someone that finds our home space so meaningful because that's where life happen in these four walls is where so much happens. Growth and joys and hardships and evangelization and community and vocation and, you know, family life, like so much happens at home. And so that for us, we're similar, like it's a priority for us to make our space a beautiful, warm, welcoming place that nourishes our like souls, our minds, our hearts, our well-being inside the home, as well as like is a haven for those who come in and for everybody that comes in feels like welcomed and comfortable and yeah, just like loved on. So I just, yeah, I love that. Like home is where you wait for heaven. That's so beautiful. I know that social media often glorifies the polished like after. And while you invite people to like their life right now in the middle of the mess and the becoming, right? That kind of contradicts like everything we see on Instagram is everything that happened after and like not like the beauty and the process and the hardship of the process. So how do you personally stay grounded and authentic online? How do you navigate comparison culture, et cetera?
Great question. I think the process is where all the magic happens. But and you're totally right that with the internet, we see the end product. And when I start to feel that feeling that we all feel of like, okay, I need to get this done or I need to perfect this or like, what can I purchase? Really? Like, that's where my mind goes. What can I buy right now to get this finished, get this polished up, to get this across the finish line that I have in my head? I try to remind myself of like, number one, what I always say is like creativity thrives in constraints. Like the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Like this is where I have been called to create. So when I'm feeling that like kind of ping or realizing like, okay, my life is in process and we're not seeing the process of other people. So it's this really difficult scenario, gap scenario that we're in. And when I'm confronted with my middle of process and I'm also feeling that ping of comparison and ickiness, just saying like, okay, creativity thrives in constraints. What can I make? That is how I've like lifted myself out of really everything is with this creativity that the Lord has given us and that's in his image and likeness. And so just allowing myself to play in that way has really helped. Like that's like a physical thing that I can do and move and make something has really helped. And then also thinking about like the Lord is patient and what I want is like a collected life that he has given me. And so I need patience too. And so just like praying for that patience. And also back to our first conversation, thinking about like, okay, we are in progress. Like we're on earth, we're in progress. We're not in heaven yet. So like I'm on earth, I'm in progress. So is everyone else.
I love that. Yeah. Like I'm never going to reach the finish line here on earth. The quicker we find just that like peace and stillness in our heart. Because I think the evil one does use that lie of like, when you get to X, then you'll be happy. And so it's that anxiety and that rush to get to the X finished product. And as we've chatted throughout our conversation, like even when you arrive, life changes and you enter a new chapter and all of a sudden, like the finish line has moved, right? And it will continue to move until we get to heaven. Yes. And so, yeah, I just love hearing your perspective on the process and I hope that that gives people encouragement as they're in the process too. Now to wrap up, for women listening who maybe feel stuck, you know, and they're listening to this conversation, they're like, I want to have this mindset, but they are discontent with their lives or they're overwhelmed or maybe they're waiting like for their vocation to start or for their life to start when they reach X, right?
Yeah.
What are just some practical things that this woman could be doing today to put this into practice and really start liking her life a little bit more?
Yeah. If you're sitting down, I would get up and like walk around your house. If you're driving your car, I would just speak out loud and just say like, Lord, can you remind me what I like? Like, tell me what I like. He made you to like things and with preferences and with an eye for him. And I would either walk around my house, like get up and walk around my house and ask that and say it out loud, like recount it out loud. And it could be start with stuff in front of you and like you'll be amazed at how the list grows. And I would just talk it out loud and make a list of like, this is what the Lord told me and reminded me that I like, and just keep counting things that you like. Then I would also take action. So after you made your list, I would take action and then go do something that you like get your body and your creative mind into agreement with the Lord and how he likes your life too, because he gave it to you. He made it. So go like make a coffee, call a friend, write a letter, go look outside at the blue sky for like 10 seconds. Just do something that like.
I love that advice. I think one thing that comes to mind for me as well is just like going back to the things that you like to do that you just, for some reason as an adult, feel like you can't do anymore, you know?
Yes. With,
like for me, yes. That painting, like I was always in some sort of art class from ages like 8 to literally 22 when I graduated college. And then all of a sudden when it wasn't like a class, it like, I was like, quote unquote, like, I just don't have time anymore. Like, I just don't have time anymore. But the reality is we were just not making time for it. And it's so important to actually make time, even a little bit of time, for the things that we love and that we like and that fill us with life. Yeah. And that itself is going to bring back more of that joy and life into your life.
Yes. It just like glorifies God. And we can just start really small. Like when I started this whole invitation to like my life again, I had to like literally sit down and figure out what I liked because I didn't know. I like forgot. And I had to pray about it. And the Lord has like really blessed that. So that's a great example. I would encourage everyone to think about their little selves, their younger selves too, and think about what you liked as a little girl.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for coming on and just encouraging us to like our life and to be creative and to romanticize our life. Where can we find more of you?
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. Thank you for having me. You can find me on Instagram at Caroline Lenny. L-U-N-N-E is my last name. Rhymes with honey, kind of complicated one. That's where I share my daily life, all the things. My agency is called Migrate Marketing. You can find us at Meet Migrate on Instagram. And I'd love to meet you and chat and see what you like about your life.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Caroline.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.